while it's on my mind. The first hymn today, I had to stop today. I stop about once a week at this Mennonite, I don't know what you call it, delicatessen, flower shop, candy shop. It's everything to me. And they sell a real good sandwich in there, and I stop once a week because it's a big sandwich. And I walk through the door, and if you'll notice, I finally got around shaving my beard, and I promise you, next Sunday, this mop will be gone for the most part. But I walked through the door in my bib overhauls, and the truck had messed up, and I was covered in dirt. And I walked in to get my sandwich, and the Mennonite girls that was in there was whistling that song. I walked in the door and started singing it. And the little girl behind the counter went, "You know that song?" And I said, "Well, sure I did. We sing it where I preach at church on Sundays." And I was like, "Here we go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. She goes, "You're a preacher?" And I went, "Yep." And I got ready for the next question, and she finally threw me the curb. She said, "Well, praise God." Completely knocked me sideways. I walked out there just smiling, could not stop. So it was beautiful to hear that hymn today. So with that, I guess we're ready to see what the children's story is today. And I'm real curious because they're wearing coats. I wonder what's going on here.
How are you this morning? I think we had some fun downstairs this morning, didn't we, with Miss Malibay? We made something this morning. Can we explain what we made?
Mm-hmm.
What did we make this morning?
The tomb of God. Jesus died.
We took two biscuits and put them together, put a marshmallow in the center of it, and rolled it in cinnamon and sugar and baked them. And when you open it up after it's done, there's the empty tomb. Isn't that neat?
That's true.
And I'm going to tell you, they're delicious.
I tasted it.
The kids each had a whole one. I think Melody and I had one. I think Brother Paul had one. They are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
What's special about today? About Palm Sunday. What do you think happened today?
That Jesus died?
No, that comes on Friday. But something very special happened before that. What do you think? What's laying over there on the bench?
I know when Jesus came to Jerusalem.
That's right. So we're going to hear a little story about this morning. As Jesus came closer to Jerusalem, he asked two of his disciples to go ahead of him. He said, "When you get to the town, you will see a donkey tied up. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you about taking the donkey, just tell them the Lord needs it and he will bring it back as soon as he's done with it." So his disciples did as Jesus asked. They soon found the donkey tied at a doorway. As they were untying it, some people were standing nearby, visiting, and they didn't recognize the men and asked, "What are you doing? Why are you untying the donkey?" They replied just as Jesus had told them to, explaining that the Lord needed it, and the people let them go. When they brought the donkey to Jesus, some of his disciples took off their coats. And guess what they did?
Laid it on the ground.
They laid them on the... No, we didn't get that far yet. They had to cover the donkey up with something, didn't they? They put their coats on the donkey's back. So Jesus wouldn't have to sit on the donkey, just the plain donkey. Then Jesus rode the donkey towards what town?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. As he was traveling, some people saw Jesus coming and came running towards him. They had heard that he might be coming, and they wanted to see him because he had just helped a dead man came back to life. Remember that? Who was the man?
Lazarus.
Lazarus, that's right. One by one, they laid their coats on the ground for the donkey to step on. Even the people that weren't wearing coats ran to the fields and trees nearby and cut palm branches and laid them down. These people knew that Jesus was special. It was like when a king or queen comes to town and people roll out, what do they roll out? Is it green carpet?
No.
What kind of carpet? What color?
Green.
No, it's always red carpet for special people. Yeah. Along the step one. I've watched TV before, and these big celebrities, and maybe the president goes to another country or something, and they show him rolling out the carpet whenever he gets off the plane and walks on it.
Why?
Well, because he was the president, but Jesus was more special than anybody. These people knew that Jesus was special. As they got near, even closer to the town, more and more people noticed Jesus. A crowd surrounding him and started to shout, praising to him for all the miracles he had done. You know what they were saying? Hosanna! Can you say that? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save us. They said this because Jesus was helping them and doing amazing things. They wanted to praise him and they wanted to help him keep helping them. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now I want you all to do something. You got coats on, don't you? Mm-hmm. So we're going to do something special this morning. You go get some of those palm branches? Bring them all over.
Strong.
Here. You better take one over to your daddy because I know he wants one.
I do too.
Well, we're going to do something else with ours though. Take one over to daddy.
I'm not going to eat it.
No. Now, I want you to do something special. I want you to think about something. Now, we're serious now. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see Jesus riding in here on a donkey?
Yes.
And put the palm branches down,
yeah,
and throw the coats.
No,
for the donkey to walk on. And our coats and all. So what we're going to do, I'm going to let you do that. The congregation is going to sing a song together. It's one of our praise songs. We're not going to sing it during the praise time. We're going to sing it now. And while we're singing this song, you guys are going to take the palm branches and you're going to put them all down the aisle here and up here. And you know what? If you want to, take your coat off and lay it down, like it says in the story. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing our song and then... Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the dear children, Lord, and for the blessings that they bring to each one of us. And just be with us, Lord, as Brother Paul brings the message this morning. Just bless him, Lord, and bless everyone in the congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, take a whole handful. There's plenty here for you. There's plenty. Just wait a minute. Wait till we start singing. Come here. Miss Martha's going to play. Yeah, they're real. Wait a minute. 296.
Hymn 296.
We went far.
I know these songs once you start singing them. It's Easter Sunday at Grandma's house. Only difference is something has changed, and the two little brothers sat together at the table. And Pappy asked one boy, he said, "Would you pray over the meal?" And the boy started praying, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed some more. And when he got done, they started to serve the meal. His little brother looked at him and said, "You don't pray that much when Grandma does the cooking." His little brother said, "That's because Grandma knows how to cook." I forgot I had two other announcements. I'm not used to doing this. I want to remind you that we have Good Friday service, April the 2nd at 6:30 p.m. The stewards are coming up. They have a meeting Monday night. We're a busy week this week. The 29th. What day is that? Oh, no, it's the 28th, isn't it? Tomorrow's the 29th. What happened on the 28th, I wonder? Why are you grinning like that? How old are you? Is this 18?
Yeah.
This is the big one, isn't it? Oh, well, you know what? We ain't going to let you get away with that one. I'm sorry as I can be. She turns 18 years old today. I want, by show of hands, how many people in this room wouldn't give to run back and start over at that age again? Pretty near everybody. Should we sing to her? Jackie, should we sing to her?
Yeah.
Oh, we should sing, shouldn't we? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Skymere. Happy birthday to you. I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist it. That's a big one there. Amen. If there are none others, as we prepare to come before the Lord, just a hand up and down as we come before, let your heart be known to Him. Let us join together in meditation. Where in the world do I start? Just about the time, Father, that we think that we're getting lost. You place so much in front of us. There is all things to be thankful for. Things that we can't see, that we can't name, but we can be thankful first and foremost for a birthday. A milestone reached, a time beginning, a future ahead. We can be thankful for a birthday that produced results, Father. For two young people who stood up and said, "This is what we want to do." And your blessings were magnified. Let this continue in all those young lives that they celebrated. Let this continue to be known that you are within them, that your presence is whole and divine, Father. And thank you for letting us share in that. And thank you for big steps being taken. And for recoveries that are going on as proceeded, as planned, as prayed for, and recoveries that have happened. And lost ones who are out there are starting to hear the word. And those who were unable to be here are returning, Father. Your blessings are known and founded. Amen to that. Hosanna. Thank you for those little children, Father, who with wide open hearts and anxious minds are ready to drink up your Son and His story and His love. And we are seeing the foundation laid yet again. Thank you for that, Father. And yet we are not without concern. A doctor who was more of a family friend than anything now faces another turn in life. Let us keep that in prayer. For family members who are fighting with terminal cancer and have realized what is coming forth, let us keep them in prayer. And for the last minute grace of your Son's salvation, simply asked for, completely received, and a kingdom yet bestowed again. We thank you for the volunteers in the church, Father, for those that step up and say, we will do this. We will go forward. We will help provide the message, whether it be in the rescue missions or in the nursing homes or in wherever at the hospitals, Father. We will go. We will visit. We will stand up. We will help. Thank you for that. Even to those who volunteer at the front of the church and those behind the scenes, to the teachers, to those that uplift tiny minds, to those that shape younger minds, to those that lead, guide, and direct minds that are more seasoned, Father, let them all be strong. And I pray for the pastors in this area today that as the new assaults come on the church, as at every turn we find somebody else trying to remove Jesus from within the church itself, I pray strength upon these pastors as they set up for Sunday morning and continue in the care of their flock. And I ask for strength for myself and ask you to help me be better care for my flock. It's not getting easier, but the rewards are ever greater. Be with the military, Father, who serve us. Be with those who would protect our life, limb, and property. Be with those who are there to take up that cause. Let our prayers go to them. Let them be kept from harm. Let them know your Son, Jesus. Join our hearts together, Father. Let us pray as you would have us pray. As Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is Matthew chapter 3, all of it. Read the sermon title, Between the Lines. We're reading Matthew chapter 3 in preparation for Palm Sunday. And when you crack your Bibles open there and you see what Matthew chapter 3 is all about, I hope you see your eyebrows raise and go, what? But it ties in. Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food were locusts and wild honey. And people went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming of wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let us join our hearts together as we seek this morning's message. Father, open our hearts and our minds as we have set aside our labor. We have trudged through deepening sorrows this week, and we have seen great praises. Let us root in here this morning and prepare for your message. Let it come from you, Father, through me and reaching out, that it might lift up and push forward and give us something to take when we leave from here, shouting your Son's name, glory in the highest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, they were a girl and a little boy, and they were scruffy. You see, they were dirty. They were from a lower class children. But here's what they did. Their parents didn't pay any attention to their whereabouts. They could have cared less. They lived in a low class district. They only wanted to make sure that they got through each day. So the little boy and the little girl were dodging and twisting through a crowd of people, trying to get through. Now, the boy shot through a gap. And he stopped right in front of a man and a donkey. And he stopped so quickly that a little girl behind him smashed into him and they fell over. She lifted her hand to give him a smack. And then she was mesmerized as she saw what he was staring at and stared upward in awe. It was the man on the donkey. Riding beneath palm branches held over him like a royal arch. Riding on coats and palm branches laid out on the road before him so that the donkey would not touch the ground. His smile, which had first riveted the boy, was now cast upon the girl, and he focused his entire attention upon both of them. Can you see this happening? Can you close your eyes for a minute and feel it happening? He had such a presence that a silence, untroubled yearning covered them. So powerful was his smile that years later, in occasional quiet moments, the memory of it would soothe their souls with a caress as certain as a physical touch. People behind the little donkey, the little colt, surged forward, and the moment passed, and the crowd swept on in front of the little boy and the girl and blocked their view from the man on the colt. Without exchanging words or glances, they looked around and they each turned to follow, trying to squeeze through the legs of the chanting adults. They stayed with the crowd as the road turned slightly downward, dipping out of sight into the corner of Jerusalem. The road rose again shortly, bringing that holy city into their view for the very first time. Yet what these little children could not see, the man on the colt did. Here from the east, it seemed that the entire city arose from a deep abyss. The valleys of Kedron and Hinnom, the temple tower dominated the skyline, and the vast temple courts spread out before it. The monstrous temple walls on the eastern ridge of the plateau seemed like cliffs in the distance, unassailable and as fixed as eternity. The upper palaces, brilliantly white in the glowing sunshine, now threw shadows across garden terraces, and the city below giving an impression of unearthly splendor as an ache of beauty that could never be captured by memory or description or even on canvas by an artist's brush. What the children could not see, the man on the donkey did, as if in that single moment in time, time's curtain rippled just enough to give him this vision of earth heaped into ramps approaching the city walls, of legions of soldiers swarming the triumphant, of a city outline marred by smoke and destruction, of a proud temple wall shattered into rubble, of hundreds of rebels dying on crosses too numerous to comprehend, of mothers searching the ruins for children, and then a new vision, dust swirling, a quiet song, a desolation of centuries, the rejection of God Himself in horrible cold punishment for a city about to butcher His Son. Strong words. What the children could not see, the man on the donkey did. The beauty of the city was so inexorable that he knew the tragedy that laid ahead. The force of this contrast tore loose from him a wrenching sob. Tears. So loud that it startled those beside him. His sorrow deepened into heaving lamentation, spreading a ball of uneasy silence over his followers. It was as if he spoke to the city when he agonized words left his mouth. If only you had knew that on this day, what would bring you peace, but is now hidden from your eyes. He closed his eyes and he could not shut out this vision. His weeping would not stop. The boy and the girl crept forward. Unlike adults, the terrible sorrow of the man on the donkey didn't scare them, didn't frighten them as it did the others. It filled them with a longing, a desire to wrap their arms around him and hold him and comfort him and love him as though he were a mere child in need. His sorrow drew them slowly to the colt, where each shyly put their hand on the flank of the donkey. And for as long as he wept, they walked wordlessly and shared his grief. Not the picture of Palm Sunday, is it? Not the picture so often painted. We ought to go between the lines a little bit on Palm Sunday. Everybody was excited to see him coming in there. You've read them numerous accounts. Everyone was excited to see Jesus, the King, the man. And do you know why? Because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to see Jesus coming down the street into Jerusalem, the holy city, and take over and set up. And it was not to be. They were celebrating. He was dying. And he knew it. And the reason I chose to read from Matthew chapter 3 was he followed what was laid out before him. It says in there, make straight the paths. Jesus stayed between the lines, straight on the path. Palm Sunday. I wonder what went through his mind. I often think about that. Because as a young boy, there was an old preacher up at home, up where Dad preached, up in West Virginia. His name was Joe Lewis, and he was a powerhouse. And you've heard me talk about him. And we talked about Palm Sunday one time, and I was a little boy getting the palm branches. And, back then we got the ones that were real long like that, and you got them and you played with them all through church and you tore a little piece off and, you're 7 years old. We didn't have children's church. And what did you do? The first thing you did when you walked out of church was your best friend who had been poking you with that little sharp point on the end, you walked out of church and you turned the big end around and smacked him in the head with it. Right? That's what I did. Old Joe Lewis, I loved him because he would show up at the funniest times of my life. He grabbed me by the shoulder and I thought it was my dad. And I turned around and looked at Joe and I thought I wasn't in trouble. And Joe said, boy, don't you know what that means? No. You're holding the symbol of my crucified Lord. You're holding the symbol of my crucified Lord. And ever since them days, I often wonder what went through his mind as he rode into town knowing what was coming. Knowing that on this day, he had but one choice, to go straight, stay right between the lines. Don't go this way, don't go that way, stay straight on. We call this the beginning of Holy Week, and rightfully so. This day begins the greatest Holy Week for us. It gives us our purpose. It shows us that we can stand up in front of the world and say, see, my Savior, tomb is empty. We call it Holy Week. Jesus, it was his greatest suffering yet to come. He would spend a week, the last week, with those he loved. Led into church with shouts of the King and Hosanna and the greatest. And yet, it wasn't to be yet. His greatest point wasn't to come yet. Go back to that Matthew chapter 3. I want to look at that for a minute. I want you to understand why I wanted to look at what John was doing. John has been given a great directive. He has been told to make the path ready for Jesus to come into the world, to be baptized. You go back to verse 3. They referred to him as, this is he who has spoken through the prophet, who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths before him. Now someday, somehow, some way, I'm going to the River Jordan. Now, I know that there's one, two, three. Shirley, did you do it also? Yeah. There's three of you I know for sure have been baptized in the River Jordan, right? Geisla and Bud and Cheryl. I can't imagine what that must have felt like to stand in the river where your Savior stood. I don't think I could speak for the next day. I know that's hard to believe. But I wonder about it. John has been given this great directive. But the reason it's written down in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John himself, the reason it is written almost exactly the same four ways is because it is the gospel of good news. And brothers and sisters, that verse is telling you, start with your own self and make the path straight. That's where it has to begin. Right here. This is Palm Sunday. Right here. Every day. Make that path straight. That's what John was saying. That's what they were saying about him. I'm going to set the example of making a straight way path for Jesus. We're being told the same thing today. It was even foretold. You don't have to swing back, but back there in Isaiah 40, in the third verse, they talk about John. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the ways for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says it five times almost exactly the same. This is wilderness, right here. You have to make this path straight in order for him to enter in. And the Jews knew that. They got so excited when they saw him. Not only did they want the path straight, but look what they did. They didn't even want him to touch that dirty old ground. Where's my red carpet, by the way? That's what we're being told. To make a path ready and to keep it straight and keep it between the lines. Probably I should have renamed this sermon a little differently, but I didn't. I chose Between the Lines because I heard something this week that made me think of it like that. As we look toward this week, we see that Jesus approaches. He is not without great sorrow. Can you, everybody in this room has been in some kind of crowd somewhere where there have been more than 1,000 people, right? Now, if you're in a room full of 1,000 people and the fellow all the way up there at the front cries, are you going to hear him? No. But what's the Bible say? The Bible says that Jesus sobbed so loudly that the crowd heard it. Because he knows what is coming. And not just for himself. He knows that these children that he loves, these misguided, crazy people, are going to kill him. And he's going to show them who he is when he rises up. But because of what they're doing, they're going to be punished. And what do we see happen? Jerusalem goes away. The temple goes down. Again, not to be rebuilt till a much later date. He's got to suffer because we don't let him straight in. We can't. It's not in our nature. This path, this Palm Sunday, keeping it straight. And you know what the funny part is, Christians? How many of you, the day you took your oath and stood in the water and went underneath the water and said, Jesus, come into my heart and made that first pathway straight? How many people in this room don't have to start each morning by restraightening out the pathway? I start every morning. Do you? Amen? Amen. Making the pathway straight. Keeping it between the lines. Straight down the road. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. I just can't go through Palm Sunday without it. Let's read this account. Luke chapter 19, starting in the 28th verse, and we're going to read his ministry into Jerusalem. We're going to read about his beginning. We're going to etch it back into our minds, and I'm choosing Luke's account because Luke writes his sorrow. All of them write about it. Luke doesn't talk about him laying down the leaves, but we know what happened. But Luke does write about his sorrow. Luke chapter 19, starting in the 28th verse. Follow along with me, please. Listen to these words and hear this account. After Jesus had said this, and you know what he was talking about. After he had said that he was going to die. After Jesus said this, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Pure, clean, ready for the work. untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Now let's stop there for a second. Let's change that up a little bit. You're at the house and two fellows walk up and jump in your pickup truck and start to fire that thing up and drive it away. The Lord needs it. Really? I want you to think about that one for a minute. His directive was so simple and so pure, and I want you to note as we continue on what the two disciples did. They didn't question him. Okay. 32nd verse. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Just like that. No argument. The Lord needs it. That's what's going on here in you. When he wants to come to your heart on that straight path, he needs it. No questions asked. He needs you. Continuing on, as they brought it to Jesus, they threw their coats on the cloak and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. And he answers, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? I'd like to have seen the stones cried out just to quiet them. So certain was this that had to happen. Jesus in that 40th verse is saying, so certain is this that even if nobody declares it, I am still going on the straight path, right between the lines, right down the middle, and I am going to sacrifice as my Father has directed, and the stones will cry out in rejoicement if nobody else does. 41st verse. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it and said, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is a call to you to wake up and tell people he is coming back, right? Palm Sunday is not just the day that Jesus went into Jerusalem. Yes, it is, and no, it ain't. It's the day that he gave us another example of what he's coming for. It's another day when he said, I need to be with you. Can you imagine the precious Savior saying that? I need to be with you. Can you imagine Zacchaeus when he said, I want to go to your house and eat today. I need to be here. I need to be on this straight path. I need to be here. He comes straight to us. He seeks us out. He tells us exactly what he's looking for. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Paul wrote these words. Let me get to the right page. He said of God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Make the path ready. Make it straight. Make your own path ready. My stepmom-in-law said on the phone to me yesterday when I was talking to her, God left me. No, he didn't. And her pain was great. And I said, Shirley, no. You left him. I said, that's a hard thing to hear, but you did. On the day I got fired, and I was going to take care of my own life, I thought that God had left me, and guess what? I had left him. The day she's finding out, her focus can be reset. Her path can be made straight. What a beautiful day to do it on Palm Sunday. Amen. He comes and he seeks us out. Can you imagine Christ coming looking for you, seeking you out? You are that important to Him. Your life is that important to Him. Your soul, your very being is that important to Him that He would say that. And yet, what He says there in Luke, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, there are going to be those, my brothers, my sisters, that are going to cry out at that time. They didn't recognize. I just read an interesting little article of Charles Spurgeon, who said, my every waking moment should be on this earth to figure out how to serve Him. My every waking moment on this earth should be a way to figure out, am I doing what He would have me do? Is my life showing His way? Am I being too judgmental of somebody else? Am I lifting somebody else up? Am I directing somebody else to Him? Is something that I'm doing showing the way? Not for me, it ain't. I don't do enough. And Charlie goes on to write, no, I don't. But I will not give up my attempt to do so. Amen. He simply wants us to clear out a path and go straight at Him. That's all. 2 Peter, 2 chapter, 15th verse. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Peter is writing about those who have not made the path straight, who have not sat down and said, I'm coming straight in. I'm not going to keep it between those narrow lines. I love that movie, Facing the Giants, and many of us sat and watched that movie when the football coach was teaching that boy how to kick. Remember that scene? I can almost do that scene by heart. He said, he reared back, he said, look, David, you ain't kicking that ball right. You're done before you kick it. He said, now you can either kick the ball wide left and miss it, or you can kick the ball wide right and miss it, but the only way you're going to get it through there is to kick it straight. I don't care if it looks like a dead duck flying through there, as long as it goes straight. My mama can kick it up through there straight. Now, what's a good book say, David? Straight is the way of the path for those who would turn from wickedness. Right between the lines. And the reason I'm coming around is because there's a song, and I'm not going to sing it, because I can't sing that high, and it will not sound good, but I will read it. Ricky Van Shelton back in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, he did a song called Keep It Between the Lines. Anybody ever heard it? The lyrics go, he was sitting beside me in the passenger seat as I looked through the window at the quiet little street. He was smiling so proud as he gave me the key, but inside I knew he was nervous as me. And I said, Daddy, oh Daddy, are you sure I know how? Are you sure I'm ready to drive this car now? He said, I'm right here beside you. You're going to do fine. All you got to do is keep it between the lines. Because it's a long, narrow road. Only the good Lord knows where it leads in the end. But you've got to begin. So keep your hands on the wheel. Believe in things that are real. Just take your time. Keep it between the lines. I was sitting at my chair, kind of sneaking a look at him lying on the floor with his coloring book. Then he caught me watching and he climbed on my knee. And he said, Daddy, oh Daddy, would you do this with me? And I hugged him so tightly as we turned the page, said, Son, I haven't done this since I was your age. He said, I'm right here beside you and you're going to do fine. Daddy, all you got to do is keep it between the lines. So we finished the picture and I put him to bed. Got down on my knees and I bowed my head and I said, Father, oh Father, I feel so alone. Then an answer came back so gentle and low in the words of my daddy from so long ago. Said, I'm right here beside you and you're going to do fine. All you got to do is keep it between the lines. That's all he's asking. In these verses we have read, all he's saying is keep the path as straight as you can. I'll be right here. I want you to think about Palm Sunday this way. This moment, this Palm Sunday, every year it brings us a little bit closer to Jesus because it's our time to sit back and prepare for that. He didn't walk into town triumphant without knowing a little bit in his heart the victory that this would bring. He came into town sorrowful, though, because he knew that there was many that will never understand the cross. We'll never understand the sacrifice. We'll never understand what we are seeing. It tells us so much more than we are to know unless we stop and listen, unless we've made our path straight, unless we've set aside ourselves and got down and been humble in front of Him. I have to do that quite often, thankfully, humble myself. And I'm getting better at it. 3 years ago, it never would have happened. But with Him in here, and my prayer for you is, with Him in you, you will find your way humble and prepared for Him. This is Palm Sunday. It is a beautiful thing to think about our Lord walking, riding on that colt, a pure, unridden colt, down the line. And if, for those of you who don't remember it, when a colt ain't been ridden, they ain't real happy about you being there to start with. And yet He sat right down and away He went. Straight ahead, between the lines. As we prepare for it this Easter, as we prepare for the time to come ahead, this week I want you to look around for the straight path. Hunt it down, seek it out, want it. Go back and reread that Luke chapter 19 and reread what He laid out for us as we prepare to see the glory of His resurrection in the week to come. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You can wake us up. You can bring us forward. You can do whatever needs to be done, Father, but thank You for letting us be humbled at that moment when we most need it. Like the two young children, let us be in constant amazement of You. I know You're right beside us. I know You look straight down the path for us. I know You stand at one end beckoning us, and I know that we prepare. Give us that strength, Father. And thank You for giving us this day to remind us of what's to come. Let us be in prayer this week. Let us be mindful of You, and let us keep our eyes focused on Your Son and what He gave up for us to gain everything. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have an unspoken request, or you need some extra prayer as we sing this last hymn, if you need that strength, I would ask that you would come forward. It's a good old hymn, 327, The Old Rugged Cross. We sang this without words, didn't we, here a couple nights ago. But if you need it that time as you sing this last hymn to come forward for that extra prayer, I invite you to come up.
Please stand.
Oh, rugged cross, to was on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish thee, O rugged, O rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay. I will claim to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, with shame and reproach gladly. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
reminding you all that tonight we share love feast.
Thank you, Lord.
Tonight we come together as brother and sister, as children of the Most High. I encourage all of you to please come back and share with us. I ask that your feet be made light to walk. I ask that your path be straight as you go from here today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Martha.